From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, November 22nd, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath chi, shawa, toeksik nusum, salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, Tidal Echoes, the Southeast Alaska Literary and Arts Journal, is looking for submissions for next year's edition. We find out how you can get involved. We chat with the Juneau Public Library and see what upcoming events are in store. We look ahead to the Salvation Army Thanksgiving Community Dinner, and everyone is welcome. And we talk with Jordan Nigro about what's happening at the Zach Gordon Youth Center and the Body and Mind After School Program. Those conversations this hour on Juneau Afternoon.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak gunish cheese.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwan Ish George Davis. And the word this week is atcha.
Atcha.
That means food. And here's a sentence.
Hunda kahiditach atcha awa'u.
He bought food from the store. Let's hear it again.
Atcha.
Food. Gunas chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan ish, George Davis was Takdain Tan and the child of a Tsagwe Di man. He grew up in Kir, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Thanksgiving theme from Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. That's good. We're getting in the mood. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Tidal Echoes is a Southeast Alaska literary journal which showcases writing, art, and more from creative talents around our region. Their next issue is coming up next spring, and then the deadline for submissions is coming up fast on December 1st. And here to share more about this and get you inspired is Rosh Rayback. Gunath chi, sha'i gudi. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio, Rosh. Wasi'iti, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm excellent. So let's start with the question, what is Tidal Echoes?
Yeah, so Tidal Echoes is Southeast Alaska's literary and arts journal. It's put on through the university. It features poetry, prose, ceramics, weaving, painting, photography, all kinds of art that you can think of. And it's open for anybody in Southeast Alaska who is a creative, you know, person who wants to have their work published in a journal. It's completely run through students and some faculty support, and it's a really awesome opportunity for everybody in Southeast Alaska.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think when people maybe think of Tidal Echoes, they think it's a student. Well, you have to be a student to submit, but really anybody What's the eligibility requirement? You just have lived in Southeast Alaska?
Yeah, just live in Southeast Alaska full time. We do have 25% of the journal is set aside for UAS students or university students, but anybody else living in Southeast Alaska, it's really a journal for the entire community. It's just put on through the university, which is super cool.
I see. And yeah, I wanted to ask you about that too, like in terms of, so it's a nice project because I know we were talking a little bit before air, and you're getting a degree in history and a little bit in creative, and a minor or a double major?
A minor.
Minor in creative writing. So this project, Title Echoes, is something that is, has, I know Emily Wall is the sort of student advisor for the project, but really it's teaching you different things, right? How to publish and all that kind of stuff. What is it teaching you?
Yeah, it's for me personally, so I'm the fall intern, and my entire job is to get the word out and talk to people and promote the journal. And it's teaching me a lot of interpersonal skills. Honestly, like that's something that I wasn't expecting fully to reap out of it, but I've been sending a lot of emails, and I've been getting really good at it. So I'm really proud of that for the journal. But it's also teaching me, you know, like how to conduct an interview. We have two featured artists. We have Liz Zacher, who is our featured artist. She works in ceramics. And then we have Karina Cook, who is our featured writer, and she just released a book, Leave Takings. And so I had to sit down and interview those two people and figure out how to transcribe that interview and like how to cut things and how to, you know, format it to make so it's helping me improve as a writer as well. And so it's a cool opportunity for me, and also it's necessary for my degree. Even as a creative writing minor, I have to have an internship or a thesis, and so this is my internship.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So when you're interviewing these featured artists, we'll talk about them in just a minute too, but like, are you taking them and you're using those interviews to be in the book or to be helping to promote Title Echoes, or what are you using those interviews for?
Those interviews are going to go into the book. There's a couple, they're about like 5 pages each, and they go right in the middle of the book. And so they're like, I think last year we had Sophia Gim was our fall intern, and she did the interviews, and they're really formatted really cool because she took out quotes and she put them all over. There's a lot of creative liberty that you can have a little bit with how they're formatted in the book, but it's about 5 pages, and they're going right in the middle of it.
So will there be a spring intern, and that person's job will be to do layout and things on the book, or actually produce the book, or how does the book get produced?
Yeah, so in the spring there are two students who are on the team. There is the senior editor and the junior editor, and those are the spring ones, and their job is to look through all of the submissions along with the rest of the group, like the team, to look at the submissions and pick which the harder task, in my opinion, of picking which works actually go in the journal and which ones unfortunately cannot make it. And they're helping work out like the layout, and they're making the drafts and the final manuscript materials. They're working with the community to promote the actual launch of, so they're making posters for that. They're helping design the cover. They're working with the featured artist and the featured writer to figure out what works they want to put in the book, because they have a few featured sections as well. So they're a lot more hands-on with the actual material, whereas I'm talking to the community about it a little bit more.
Right, right. Okay, so that's kind of cool. And you told us a little bit about the featured artist and writer. Can you tell us a little bit more about each of those people and what their backgrounds are? Since you interviewed them, you know everything about them like that.
So Liz Zacher is our featured artist. She got an MFA in a university in Ohio. She is actually a associate of arts professor at in Sitka. She teaches ceramics there. She works a lot with like the human and animal forms. I got a look at a lot of her art that she like has. She had a couple shows, and I think she had one in the Alaska Museum at one point. And it's just some really cool mixed media ceramics work. Some of it gets really funky and really cool to look at. And she more recently on her Instagram, she's posting a lot of like little like critters. She had a little lineup of critters that were like little mice and frogs and things like that. Very fantasy, very whimsical. But also like some of it got pretty intense, and some of it's kind of like interesting and like kind of crazy to look at. So yeah, her art is like super inspiring for me. I'm not a huge like person who is into the physical medium of art. I like to sketch a little bit, but seeing how she can create some of that is super cool.
So will they be putting photos of her work in the book throughout the book? Is that how it works?
Yeah. So the featured artist has like a couple. They're featured on the cover usually. And then they have a couple sections of their artwork featured throughout the book, but then there's like usually a good big clump of it right in the middle next to the interviews as well.
I see.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Okay, and the featured writer, tell me about them.
Yeah, Karina Cook. I actually got to sit down with her and interview her, whereas Liz Zacher, since she's in Sitco, we did it over email. But Karina Cook is, she's the author of Leave Takings. Her main form of writing is this like lyric essay where it's taking all of these techniques from an essay or maybe a more like structured format and adding this like really beautiful prose and really beautiful lyricism into her essays. And she is a Fulbright Fellow and also with the Rasmussen Foundation. And so she's went to the Yukon to research some stuff up there and came out with this really cool collection, her Yukon collection, talking about place names and colonization as well as like with the actual earth. And it was a very cool moment to interview her because she really focuses in on the words that she's using, like she narrows in super deep onto like her sentence. She says she works on the sentence level. She doesn't write a full draft. She writes sentence by sentence and then puts them together into a manuscript instead of writing a full manuscript and then editing it afterwards. And I think that's a really unique way to do that. And you can really tell that like each one of her sentences gets so much attention and care. Yeah.
That's so interesting, right? Because like, I mean, you're studying creative writing, like the writing process, like how people do that, like how do they start, what inspires them, where do they get their ideas, how do they put their ideas together? I've never heard of anybody doing it that way. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I wish that I could have like another like 1,000 pages to just write about that conversation I had with her for our interview, because she really like talked about how she will, when she's finally like editing, what she calls editing is when she's like assembling it, she will cut out sentences and just move them around. Like she'll print out everything, cut things out and put them on this big like seminar table and move things around and paste things together and cut them away. And like that she'll just, yeah, like word by word or sentence by sentence, which I think is a really unique way to do that, because most people like they write just stream of consciousness kind of situation and then they we'll edit it, you know, a word here, a word there, but no,
wow.
Yeah, sentence
that's,
level.
That's kind of cool. We're talking about the UAS Title Echoes issue, which will be coming out probably in April, as it does every year. And right now, they are looking for submissions, and Rosh is here to promote that idea of getting your submissions in. So what are you looking for? What can people submit, and then what can they, yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, oh my gosh, they can submit anything they want, as long as it is up to 5,000 words of prose, up to three pieces of prose up to 5,000 words, five okay. poems, and five pieces of artwork. And
you don't have to do all three.
You don't have to do all three, but you can do all three.
I'm just saying, like, you can do that.
Yeah.
But if you were only a prose writer, you don't have to submit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not required to submit all three things, right? So it's like you could be just an artist. But if you're multi-talented, maybe you got
exactly.
all three things, right?
Yeah. So it's very cool. We're looking for anything. There's no theme. There's no general, like, prompt that we're looking for. Some journals do a prompt, but we're really looking for any kind of diverse voice that we see out there from anybody living in Southeast Alaska. I went and visited some of the high schools here in Juneau to talk to some of those students. So if you have any high schoolers that are pretty creative, that's also a good demographic of people that we want to see in the journal. Any kind of artwork, any kind of prose.
Yeah, really the only requirement is that you are living in Southeast Alaska.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really it. And if you have anything that you want to submit, there's things you've been working on, prose or poetry or artwork. And it does say on the website, it did say that please consider that art may be published in black and white. Right. So just so you know, maybe I know a lot of it sometimes is in color, too, but obviously color gets expensive.
Exactly.
And so thinking about what kind of art you might submit that might look good in that format could be pretty cool. And you have until, what did I say, December 1st?
Yeah. 11:59 December 1st.
11:59 on December 1st. And how do you submit?
Yeah, so we've worked through Submittable, which is a fully online platform. So we don't take any mail-in pieces or like pieces of prose. We used to, I think, at some point, but we do not anymore. So it's through the University of Alaska Southeast website. We at Title Echoes has their own website on there, and then we have a link to submit. There's a link on the Title Echoes website, and it takes you to Submittable, and then you just click which section you want to fill out, if it's poetry, prose, or artwork. You give a little bit of details about yourself. You can write a short bio that's published in the back of the book for all the artists and writers. They have short bios. And then you just upload your pieces, and it's actually super simple, really easy. We take documents for poetry and prose, no PDFs. They have to be converted to Word or docs.
Oh, that's format. Good to know, yeah.
Yeah, and then JPEGs, PNGs for artwork.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that is so awesome. And I know that it's, university links can get really long. Just put in your search engine of choice, UAS Title Echoes or Title Echoes Southeast. It'll pop up as the first link. And then, like Rosh says, you can go and get the link to Submittable and follow the form. And there's all the instructions that we've talked about in terms of, everything else that you might need to know, which is kind of cool. And what a great project. What a great thing to work on. I know we'll probably look forward to having the editors on in the spring when we get to the launch. And I'll ask the tough questions of how do you choose what goes in the book? Because I'm sure there's more submissions than you have space for.
Oh, yeah.
And, how do you make those decisions? Because, like you said, there is no theme.
Yeah.
So then it's really like, okay, what are you actually looking for in terms of what's going to go in the book? Are there things that are connected together because the artwork and the featured writers and the featured artists and, do you find things that complement that? Are you looking for, like you said, diversity all throughout the book? Like, it's such an interesting question. So it's kind of cool.
I'm so glad I don't have that job.
I'm glad I don't have that job either. But we get to enjoy the book. And when it comes out in April, it costs like $5. It's really easy to get. We'll talk about all that later. But you can also see all that information on the website if you just Google or put into the search engine of choice Title Echoes. And Rosh, thanks so much for coming in and telling us all about it. Did we get all the details?
I think we did. Thank you.
Okay, December 1st. Don't forget to get yourself submitted for the 2025 edition of Title Echoes. Good cheese, Rosh. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon. We'll find out what's happening at the Juno Public Library this holiday season next. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Édi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Well, it's that time again. Jen Gardner is here from the Juno Public Libraries with information on all kinds of events and things that are coming up. And for your, breaks that you might be having from school, there might be things to do with your kids. There's all kinds of other good things. Gunath Chi, Shah Yigudi, thank you so much for coming in today. Jen, it's a pleasure to see you. As always, Wasiati, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me, as usual.
Of course. Yeah, it's so nice to see you. So let's start with what's happening. What's wrapped up recently that we want to talk about?
Yeah, so we just got to the end of our annual bookmark contest. So this is an annual event that happens at the library for pre-K through 12th graders. And those winning bookmarks are now posted on our website. So if you want to see who the winners are this year, you can go and take a look at all of their drawings. And they're also up in person at the three libraries. This is kind of a treasure tradition that has been going on since 1982. And you can actually go onto our website and look at some of the winning editions from years dating back. Not all of them, but all the way back to 1982.
How cool. Are you able to purchase them?
We don't have them available for purchase, but they are in PDF form. So if there's anything that you wanted to print out, they are there.
Oh, so you can go to the website, just juno.org/library, and just find out and look at them and then print one, download it and print it out.
Absolutely. They are on our website under programs and events. There's a bookmark contest link, and you can go take a look back and see if you can find yours or your kids if they were entrants between 1982 and now. There's a few years missing, but it's quite a lot.
What an archive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you did one back in the 80s and then you hop on the website and you see that your bookmark that you right. made all those years ago
I've
is available.
I've scrolled through some, and I've seen some names that I've recognized, coworkers and the like, so it's kind of fun to go and see that record
of
what
so
kids
fun.
Were drawing when they were 10.
I love that. And did they win anything for being a bookmark winner?
Yeah, there are prizes for the winners that are sponsored by Hearthside Books and the Friends of the Library. So we always like to throw in a little prize for our competitions.
Nice.
So that just wrapped up. And then we have plenty of events coming up as well. So,
yeah.
Coming up this Sunday, November 24th. I think that's this Sunday. Am I right?
It is. 24th. Great. It's the 22nd today.
Okay,
so yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Platypus Games is going to be doing their monthly game day. This month it is in Douglas because FEMA is still using our Valley Library. So if you're in the Douglas neighborhood or want to go and visit the Douglas Library, maybe you haven't been there in a while, the game day is going to be there this Sunday. And
that's always such a great thing because they bring out all these games, and if you have questions about games, I mean, these folks know games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're fabulous.
Any question you have about any game, I think their library is over 2,500 games that they own or something like
wow.
that when they do their annual event. They have access to all those games. So they know a lot about games. So I highly recommend if you're interested or want to learn something about a new game, go to that session.
And it's just a fun way to spend a cold afternoon.
Yeah.
It's all ages. It's a good community. And the Douglas Library is so cozy. So it's kind of a treat that it's over there this month.
Yeah, that is kind of cute. I like that. Okay, what else is happening?
Just a heads up, the libraries will be closed for Thanksgiving on Thursday and Friday. We'll resume normal hours on Saturday following Thanksgiving. And then on that Saturday, November 30th, there is a scavenger hunt for families over at the Douglas Library. You can drop in anytime from 1 until 4 p.m. So there's going to be clues all over the library. There's going to be some little takeaway activities. And you can also, if you find a certain number of clues, you can enter to win a prize as well. So that is fun. We've done that once before, and it was a big hit. So a family-friendly event over in Douglas.
Love it.
And then looking forward to December, if you take a look on our library calendar, juno.org/library, you can find our print calendar, which has all of the upcoming library-sponsored events. So some of those in December are going to be a reading and book signing with local author Bailey Williams. There's going to be a chess tournament, a creative writing class for adults, and our annual stuffed animal sleepover, which was a big hit last year.
Tell us about that, because that sounds so fun.
Yeah, so the annual stuffed animal sleepover is an event where kids can come and drop off a stuffed animal at the library. They can stay for story time with their stuffed animals, and then the stuffed animals stay in the library overnight and get up to all kinds of shenanigans. We take pictures, and then the next day, kids can come and pick up their animals, and it can be a nice way to practice letting their stuffed animals go and do something independently, and we get some really fun pictures from the event.
And what happens with those pictures? Do you post them on the website or the Facebook or what?
We put a lot of pictures up on our social media, so after the event, we'll definitely be putting up some cute stuffed animal reading pictures on both our Facebook and our Instagram.
They read a variety of books, and
they read books. They knock things off the shelves.
They get into a little bit of trouble,
yep,
right?
Yep, just a good amount of healthy trouble in the life.
And when is that again?
That is going to be towards the end of September. That is going to be the drop-off day is December 27th, and the pickup day is December 28th.
Okay, so like a post-holiday kind of thing to
exactly.
do while the kids are on break from school, a little something to do, or even if you have a younger kid who's not in school.
Definitely.
To be able to. I love that it is a way, it's like learning to let go, too, you know, and also then, you know, seeing what kind of trouble they can get into, which
Absolutely.
Is kind of cool. I like
it's,
that.
It's a really
good
fun
trouble.
Event.
Good
fun
trouble.
Event put
yeah.
on by our youth services team.
I love that.
And then the other thing I wanted to bring up is that we are doing a little newsletter sign-up campaign. So our e-newsletter is pretty brand new. We started it up this summer. And if you come to any of our three libraries and sign up in person at the desk, you will be entered to win a gift card prize. We're going to be doing drawings once a week in December for local gift cards. You're also welcome to sign up on our website too, but if you come in person, you'll be entered into that prize drawing.
That's fantastic. What a great time to just get out and enjoy the library, right? I mean, we're going to have a lot of little, some time off, although you're going to be closed on Thanksgiving and the day after, as many people will probably also be closed and out shopping and doing their thing. But then Saturday, you said, right after you come back, there's an event on Saturday, right? The scavenger hunt.
Yep, scavenger hunt, and we'll be back to normal hours at all three of our locations that Saturday. So definitely come by and see us. Come sign up for the newsletter. You'll get one email a month from us, and that's it. And that'll keep you up to date on the things that are happening. We put lots of cute pictures in there, book recommendations, all kinds of fun things.
Awesome. And final question for you. What are you reading right now?
Yeah, I've been really big on audiobooks lately through the Libby app. But the one that I've been slowly making my way through in a hardcover format is a book called The Girl with All the Gifts by M.R. Carey, which is a suggestion from another librarian. And this is actually a zombie apocalypse book, but it's very lyrically written. And it follows the story of this child zombie who is kind of a hybrid and still has human thoughts and is also experiencing some of the side effects of the zombie contagion.
Sounds enjoyable.
I like it.
Jen, thanks so much for coming in and catching us up to date on all the things happening at the Juneau Public Library. You can get all the information in the calendar and sign up for the newsletter at juneau.org/library. Gwyneth Cheese for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Up next, the holiday feast is coming and Salvation Army is holding a community dinner for everyone. We'll get all the info and the trimmings next on Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. You are listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was Ben Rector with the Thanksgiving song. The bells will soon be ringing, but first, we feast. I'm joined now by two folks from the Salvation Army, a staple of the holiday season, to fill us up with information and more. I am joined by Peter Janoshek, and he is a major in the Salvation Army, and then a board member advisory council.
Member of the Salvation Army Advisory Board, Alan Akiyama.
Alan Akiyama, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here today. It's really a pleasure to have you both in today talk about this. We know that it's the holiday season when we go to the store and we see the bells ringing, and that is some, I think, people's main image of Salvation Army, besides Ezekiel Elliott jumping into the giant bowl years ago on Thanksgiving Day, the Salvation Army Bowl at one of the games years and years ago. But you also do a really cool thing, the Thanksgiving Community Dinner. So tell us a little bit about the Thanksgiving dinner and where its history and all that kind of good stuff.
Okay, the Thanksgiving dinner will be like it was a few last years in Yacht Club here in Juneau, and it will be the 28th on Thursday between 11 to 1. We'll be serving the food to anyone who will come. We will have a minibus which will be bringing people. First of all, from the in front of our church, which is the 439 Willoughby Avenue, and also from the Glory Hall. So that from those two places, the one minibus will be just going back and forth, bring people in and out so that people can come.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And I was told that this is going on at least for 34 years.
Wow, 34 years.
34
here in
years,
Juneau.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
And every year, I was told that we are serving about 400 people, approximately. Yes.
400 people?
Yes.
And are you new to Juneau, Peter?
Yes, we have arrived with my wife from Czech Republic in the middle of July.
Oh, wow. So you're really recent to Juneau?
Very recent, yes.
How are you finding it so far?
On one side, I mean, Juneau is paradise for me because I love the mountains, I love the sea and everything around it. I mean, this is great. But in the work, I mean, as a place of work, for us as a Salvation Army officer, it's very, very busy place. And also, we have arrived in the middle of July, and then the 6th of August, the flood hit.
And we
are living in the valley, so water stopped just one street away from our own house. But it means that we were just thrown into this, and we had to coordinate the flood relief effort. So we were for about 3 weeks at the Melvin Park doing all the food for people. And the work is a lot.
Wow.
But we love it. We don't complain at all.
Well, welcome to Juneau.
Thank you very much.
The Salvation Army does all kinds of work. Of course, you know, you can hop on their website, juno.salvationarmy.org, and you can find out all about it. And, of course, they also have a Facebook page where you can just search Salvation Army Juneau, and you'll find a lot of the information on there, too, and things of events that are coming up and all of that. And we'll give the details again on the Thanksgiving dinner in just a little bit. But, Alan, as a board member, tell us a little bit about what your role is at Salvation Army.
Thank you, Boston. The Salvation Army Advisory Board has about 8-9 members on it, and everyone's a local from Juneau. And we help provide guidance and support for the officers here in deputy, new officers like Peter and his wife, Merka. And we also provide support at all the functions that the Salvation Army does here in Juneau. For example, we're doing again this year, we're having a booth at Grandma's, at the public market after Thanksgiving called Grandma's Ag. And all the items that we're selling at Grandma's Ag are the newer and nicer items that we take in during our Sunday donations at the family store throughout the year. So we save the nicer stuff and then we sell it at Grandma's Ag. And the money that's raised during Grandma's Ag, the public market, stays right here in the community. We help support the different programs that the Salvation Army does here in Juneau. So money stays right here, goes from your pocket into someone else's pocket.
That's great. That's wonderful. And I guess I don't know this, but Peter, is it that the officers that are part of Salvation Army, are you constantly traveling and going to different locations? Are you here? Are you like stationed here for a certain amount of time and then you're going to go somewhere else?
Salvation Army officers are mainly as a pastors of the church, but also organizing and managing all the activities in the community where they are. And we are, usually it's about every 3 years, but it can be longer, it can be shorter. It depends on how well you are able to communicate with the with the people around. If it fits, you can stay for 5-7 years sometimes. But for us, for me and my wife, it's, I don't know, like 6 or 7 places already. So we've been in Czech Republic in several places. And then last 6 years, we spent in William Booth College in London, UK.
Oh, wow.
So that was, and Alaska is our first U.S. appointment. So we hope to stay here for a little longer.
Well, it's a good one. Juneau's a great place, so you're welcome here. And I know Salvation Army does some awesome work. Now, I did want to ask you about the bell ringers because we're getting to be at that time as well. And I'm just curious. I know people can sign up on the website if they want to be a bell ringer, but I'm also just wondering, because I don't really carry like cash around anymore or change. Have you noticed like donations go down, or can you do different ways of donating, or should we just make sure that we have some money in our pockets when we're going to the store these days?
It would be good to have some cash with you.
Yeah.
Some core, they do have a terminal for a credit card, so you can donate. We don't have it here in Juneau yet.
You just need like a Square account or Venmo or something.
You know, we will have, right now, we're planning to have 8 locations like permanent from the 29th of November till the Christmas Eve to 24th.
Okay.
And so those eight places we would like to maintain the all time long, which makes it a little bit more difficult to have so many terminals.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe next year we'll make maybe the busiest place. That's a good idea to have some Square terminal and
scan it on your phone or whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, I know it's easy to just make sure you have some change or some dollar bills or something that you want to be able to put into the bucket.
But if someone would like to do that, it's also possible because if you go to the JunoSalvationArmy.org, then there is a way to donate, and there is a way how you can donate in an electronic way. So you can do it on the web page. So if you see the red kettle and you don't have any change, just go to the web page and you can do it there.
That's a great idea. And how many bell ringers do you need?
as I said, we have 8 permanent locations plus several locations which will be just occasional, like Governor's mentioned for the open day, and maybe some other places. And so we need a lot to cover it all with the volunteers. It's a really, really big task. And so there are certain groups, and I would like to approach to speak to the public. If you are a sport club or you have maybe a family, I don't know, and you want to have fun, because it is fun to talk to people, to ring the bell. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can play the instruments. You can sing. You can dance. You know, just to bring attention to people.
Yeah.
And you can have a competition. We have several clubs here which are kind of compete in between themselves, like who will race more. And it's fun.
That's so really cool.
And anyone can register at the registertoring.com. Easy.
Registertoring.com is the website for that. And next week, and the reason we're here today is to talk about the Thanksgiving dinner. It's the Thanksgiving community dinner. Everyone is welcome. Anyone is welcome. You feed over 400 people on that day. That's really amazing. And can you give us the details one more time about when, where, and how?
Okay. So Thanksgiving dinner, Yacht Club, 28th of November, which is Thursday. It will be between 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we will have a little bus which will be coming from 439 Willoughby here from downtown. It's in front of our church. And also in front of the Glory Hall will be another point where we will be bringing people in and out.
Yeah.
And the whole dinner is absolutely for free. Just come. And have fun.
Be part of the community there. And it's the Juno Yacht Club, which is at 1301 Harbor Way. And for more details, you can follow the Salvation Army on facebook.com/Salvation Army Juno or go to juno.salvationarmy.org. I really appreciate you both coming in today. Alan, Peter, welcome to Juno.
Thank you.
And Alan, thank you for your continued good work with the Salvation Army. Really appreciate it. Gunnath Cheesh.
Thank you for having us on today, Boston.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, up next we will talk with the Zach Gordon Youth Center and get updates on all kinds of interesting and fun programs. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
That right there is Matthew West with the Gobble Gobble song. If that doesn't get you ready for Thanksgiving, I don't know what will. So welcome back to Juno Afternoon from KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. The Zach Gordon Youth Center is a vital community resource for our youth. It offers a variety of programs and activities, and it's all free. It's just to the east of our studios here, right here in downtown Juno, and it's open 6 days a week. And I'm joined now by Executive Director Jordan Nigro and Jesse.
Jesse.
Yes. Gunnath Cheesh for being here today. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Wasiti, how's it going?
It's going pretty fine today, sir.
Pretty fine. Did you just say sir? Did you say, oh, don't do that.
Okay.
But thank you. Hi, Jesse. It's nice to meet you. What do you do at Zach Gordon?
I'm a youth development leader.
Okay.
So I kind of interact with the kids, make sure they're, you know, not getting into any trouble, make sure they're fed, get some food there because we cook food there as well. What else? Do activities, plan activities for the kids as well on certain days of the week. I haven't planned one yet, but I'm in the process of making one.
How long have you been working there?
I'd say about a month, month and a half, but that's part-time and full-time.
Okay. What does that mean, part-time and full-time?
So I was full-time before.
You were part-time before.
Part-time before, yeah. I was part-time before for about 2 to 3 weeks, and then I moved to full-time.
And then Jordan said, hey, come on board full-time.
Yeah.
And then what did you do? Did Jesse hung out there a bunch before that, so he knows Zach pretty well.
Yeah. So I used to stay there. I used to stay here about 2 years ago, and I used to go there all the time, and then I actually became homeless around 16, and that's how I found out about their Spruce Leaf homeless shelter for the youth, and I stayed there for about 2 years, not 2 years, 2 months, I'm sorry.
2 months, yeah, okay.
And they really helped me get into trade school, and I think one of the donors, she paid for my plane ticket all the way to San Antonio from Alaska, and that's how I even got down here. Once I came back up here, I was like, this is my ideal job. I did an internship when I was here the last time, and I was paid through the CERC program.
Okay. Awesome. Well, what a wonderful story. Like, and now you're giving back, right? And you're giving back to the youth. Because I was going to say, when I met you out in the hall there for a brief minute, I was like, I thought you were a student. I didn't know that you were an employee. And then Jordan says, Jesse works there. So I was like, awesome. So that's great. And that's wonderful. But the fact that you're giving back and that you found a way to inspire other youth in all that you do there is pretty great. So, Jordan, give us just a sense of what the Zach Gordon Youth Center does. It seems like it does so many things. Can you distill it down?
We do so many things, Boston. That is a very excellent point. So one of the reasons that I asked Jesse to come with me today over here is because we are actually just starting to do street outreach. And Jesse is one of our staff helping with that. So that is right now we're just starting with Friday nights from 6 to 10. And we will expand to Saturday nights from 6 to 10 also. And we'll see just how that goes.
What does that mean? What are you
going
to be doing?
Well, the idea is really to just connect with youth who may have run away or be homeless and help let them know about the shelter. Sometimes, you know, kids have been drinking and they shouldn't be driving. And so we can give them a ride maybe where they need to be. Just, you know, helping kids be safe that are out and about. We might check in on sports games, you know, if there's a basketball game going on at the high school, checking in and making sure everybody's safe and has a way home and, you know, these things. So just connecting with young people and making sure they know about our services.
Is this a newer thing?
This is new, yeah.
Okay, so it's
we just started a couple weeks ago. So we're still just getting our feet off the ground.
Yeah.
But Jesse and one of our housing navigators, Ponyak Phelps, are going out on Friday nights from 6 to 10 in one of our vehicles. And just, you know, we have an agreement with Juneau Police Department, so they'll let us know if families have called in a request to locate, which means if their kid has run away, and they'll tell us who the kid is and the family, so we can contact the family and say, hey, where should we look? What would be helpful? And, you know, maybe they need, if we find that youth, maybe they want the youth to come to the shelter for a couple of days,
right,
and then we
right.
do some mediation and get them home and things like that. So.
Yeah, the shelter, and that's located out the way a little
bit.
Yeah, right?
The name of the shelter is Shehat Hit, which stands for Spruce Root House, and that's what Jesse was referencing earlier. And we have transitional living beds out there, and we have shelter beds for emergency placement for youth who have run away and homeless.
And then the center downtown here is more like an after school?
Center is drop in, come hang out, eat, super fun. Kids from all backgrounds and life experiences hang out there. And
it reminds me of when I was, I don't remember, I was like 10 or 12, and I used to go to the boys club.
The
yeah.
boys and girls club?
The boys
yeah,
and girls club.
That's what
yeah.
I used to go to.
And it was in the Bay Area, and I just would go there after school because I was a latchkey kid and I had nowhere to go. And we moved around a lot, so I didn't know a lot of people. So I'd just go there, and it was just basically a big room where you could just kind of hang out and meet people and play games and just kind of do stuff, which is really kind of cool. That's just really wonderful.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered this too, Jordan. Who's Zach Gordon?
Zach Gordon, well, his name was actually Zacharias Cademus Gordon, and he came here, oh gosh, in the 40s, and ultimately realized that there was just no place for teens to hang out. So he started the Teen Center. And if you talk with elders around Juneau who have lived here for, you know, their whole lives, they know Zach. They'll tell you about Zach Gordon. I still have folks pop in who, like, will say, oh, I knew Zach Gordon. And super cool. He just really saw a need. And he made it happen. And, you know, the one of the things that I feel like is such an honor for all of us that get to work at Zach is this place has a really just a tradition of being inclusive way ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. You know, the teen center was a place where when Juno had signs in certain places that said no natives allowed, the teen center always allowed everyone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just a really great place with a really great history of inclusion and mm-hmm. accepting everyone and seeing everyone for who they are. And so all of us that work there really just love that about the history and really have, I think, we all want to embrace that and continue that legacy. So
that's lucky really awesome. Us. I'm glad to know about who Zach was. That's kind of cool because when I Googled it, some actor comes up whose name is Zachary Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
He's more of like an actor now. And I was like, that's not the same guy.
That's not the same guy. Yeah. If you go on our website, there's a page about him his history and how he came to Juno. And yeah, he lived in the Baranoff Hotel in one room with like a toaster oven and like all of his money. He had like family with money on the East Coast that he would write to, and they would send his family and friends of his family would send money to make this teen center a thing.
Oh, wow.
Like
what
he was
history.
Just a very humble man that used his privilege for good.
That's so good. That's really wonderful. And I did want to ask you, too, about the Body and Mind After School program.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about
that? Yeah. So we have an after school program that is at Thunder Mountain Middle School now this year. We have two staff that work at the school, and we provide free after school programming for middle schoolers. So it's right there on campus. We have a lot of partnership projects, and we partner with all sorts of Discovery Southeast and Hatush Lashish and Juno Police Department and Sea Alaska Heritage and all sorts of different organizations to provide free activities to kids after school. It's great.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. And we actually that
you have to
program,
sign up for that or
you have to sign up for the activities, but they're free and we do sign ups during lunch and some of them are drop in. We do have the Alliance, which is our LGBTQ and allies kind of social group on every Wednesday, and that one doesn't require signups. You can just show up.
I see. Okay. That's cool.
But some of them, if somebody's teaching something and they can only have 12 kids or something
if
that,
it's limited
then we do.
If they're using supplies or doing something else interesting that might, might not be able to have too many people in it. And I love that this is everything that the Youth Center does is free. There's no cost, and it's just a place for youth to go and hang out and make friends and and find interesting things to do, right? That's really kind of cool. And I'm curious, like, I noticed this on the website too, but I wanted to ask you about this, is I'm not a teen, but what can I do or what can someone do to help out the Zach Gordon Youth Center?
Yeah, so, BAM is a good place. We do have volunteers that help us out at BAM. If you're interested in volunteering for BAM, you can give us a call at Zach and we'll connect you. The number at Zach is 586-2635. You can also, make a donation to Friends of Zach Gordon Youth Center, which is a organization that has been supporting Zach Gordon for decades now, which is pretty great. You can also call us if you want to know how to do that, and it's also on our website. One of the things that we have starting up here, I think we'll start programming right after the holiday break, the winter holiday break, is we're going to be opening after school programming in Douglas at Geneva Woods and Cedar Park. So it'll be in some ways similar to BAM, except that instead of at school, it'll be right there on in the neighborhood. So when you get off the bus, when you get off the bus from home, you can just come in and do activities with us. And I suspect we'll be, interested in having volunteers join us for that program at different times too. So, we can also use volunteers at Zach periodically. So give us a call if you're interested. We also, youth sports is also part of us, and we can always use volunteer coaches and things like that, which is a great way to, mentor kids and help kids to learn different sports. Sports is a great way to learn how to, be on a team and support your coworkers, support your teammates, all these things. Mm-hmm. And youth basketball registration is actually happening right now. So if you have a young person, 6 to 14, who wants to play basketball, you should go to cbjkids.org and get them registered.
cbjkids.org.
cbjkids.org. That's the Zach page. You can also just go to juno.org and navigate through there. But if you go cbjkids.org.
That's what I was going to ask you, is there, because sometimes city websites get a little long, right? So just cbjkids.org.
cbjkids.org is all the Zach Gordon programs.
I love that. And of course, you can also, you know, donate different things that you might have, right? I know on your website it says bus tokens and gift cards and juice boxes, hand warmers, like different anything that you might think that the teens and the youth might be able to use. Yes. That is the place to go. And again, as Jordan says, the number is 586-2635 or cbjkids.org. What a wonderful thing. I think every city department needs to have an easier website to do.
Can I just add one other thing?
Yes, please do.
The phone number to the youth shelter, if you or someone you know needs that, is 907-364-7481. We also have a cell phone out there, which is 907-209-6083, and you can text that if you're more comfortable with that.
Great. That sounds good. Jesse, Jordan, thank you so much for coming in and giving us an update on the Zach Gordon Youth Center. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Thanks, Boston.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Gunnath Cheesh for being here today. We'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Next week, we'll have one show on Wednesday, November 27th, and be looking ahead to public market and other events happening around the holiday. We'll be off on the holiday and the Friday after. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from DJ Thompson. Gunnath Cheesh.